Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Saturday of the first Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, for in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues, and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
And so the miracle of Pentecost continues. Pentecost was not only a day of God's visitation, but also the ongoing reality of the spread of his kingdom. In this passage, Peter connects what the Father has done through the Son with what the Son has done through the Spirit, and what the Son continues to do through the Spirit. To Peter, all these aspects are essential and should be presented as part of the gospel. Though undoubtedly Peter's sermon is truncated, his message is not. He says more than just, "Believe on Jesus and you'll be saved," though he does say that. He begins with the work of Jesus Christ. God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This word, preaching of peace through Jesus Christ, was proclaimed in all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You could even say that it was proclaimed through the Old Testament prophets, but with John the Baptist this word from God was much clearer and was clearly about Jesus of Nazareth. God appointed or chose certain witnesses of all things Jesus did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. I like Peter's style, for he adds, "whom they killed by hanging on a tree." That bit might have been seen as hate speech or politically incorrect, but bold Peter is unafraid to speak the truth. From the day of Pentecost, he had this boldness and made special reference to the murder of Christ by the Jews. "Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death." Acts 2, verses 23 through 24. Again he writes, "But you deny the Holy One and the Just, and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Acts 3, verses 14 through 15. Stephen, in Acts 7, speaks in a similar way. These witnesses, such as Peter, witnessed all that Jesus did while on the earth, and to these chosen witnesses the Lord revealed himself after he was raised on the third day. With these witnesses, Jesus ate and drank. These witnesses are commanded by Jesus to preach to the people and testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Even as Peter says all these things, even as he preaches to the people as Jesus commanded him, and testifies that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, and is the one by whom the remission of sin occurs, something miraculous happens. A mini Pentecost. The Holy Spirit sent by Jesus falls upon this small group of Gentiles as they speak with tongues and magnify God. Immediately, they are baptized. Since that day, the world has experienced a steady stream of many Pentecosts. As those who are appointed as witnesses of Jesus Christ faithfully proclaim the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is given to those who have faith. Don't look for these many Pentecosts to look just like the one in Acts 2 looked, or the one in Acts 10. The most common kind of many Pentecost is when God works steadily and almost invisibly on the life of a child. Sometimes it's only after a life of Pentecostal living that we can say of our children, "I know he has faith now." The work of the Holy Spirit is written in very large letters in the book of Acts, just as it is in the Gospels. But in our lives, God often writes between the lines. Even while we pay attention to the scripts that we or others write, God happens. Pentecost happens. The Spirit may come a little on this day and a little more on the next. He may come invisibly in moments in which we don't even realize he was working with us and on us. How can Pentecost be only a dead past event if the Holy Spirit is still active because Jesus Christ is still active? And how can the work and ministry of Jesus Christ continue today unless there is the whole new generation of those who have witnessed him and go and preach him to others? We stand, therefore, in a long and unbroken line of succession from Jesus himself. Jesus performed the will of the Father, died to pay for the sins of the world, rose to defeat death, and breathed life through the Spirit into his body. That body, once inspired and living, continued the things that Jesus both taught and did. And that body also preached to others and saw the Spirit enter into their lives. And here, 2 millennia later, we are all the recipients of God's Word through his holy messengers that he has chosen and sent into the world. Here you are, currently at the end of the line, and filled with the blessing of God. Now, it's your turn. Now you must be a witness to what Jesus Christ both did and taught, and what he is still doing and teaching through his church. You are the chosen instrument of God's grace in someone's life. You are the next Peter, and you are the one who God will use to initiate or fan into life another many, many Pentecost in someone's life. If you don't know where to look to see God working in this miraculous way, look closest to home. The vast majority of people who became Christians become Christians before they're 18. The vast majority of people who become Christians because their parents have been faithful witnesses and evangelists and teachers.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.